Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Yisro, and of course, the whole entire episode of Matan Torah. We begin, of course, with Yisro. Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midjan. Yisro heard everything that happened. Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midjan Chosein Moshe. Yisro, the Chosein Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard Eskol Asher Asar Lokim LeMoshe LeYisrael Amo. He heard everything that Hashem did to Moshe and Yisro. Ki Otzi Hashem Esbnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, that God took Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt. So he hears everything. And Rashi then turns around and says, well, slow down. He heard about the splitting of the sea, and he heard about the battle of Amalek. So on the one hand, the Pasuk seems to see the word kol, and Rashi comes along and limits it to these two episodes. Why? And by the way, why are these the two things that Rashi assumes had to be heard? So the Sar Shalom of Bells explains that when the world heard about the splitting of the sea, the Amalek, says the Medrash, ran 400 parsa to try to curtail the Jewish influence. And had they slowed down and reflected on what they were trying to do, they would never have attacked the Jews. Yisro also heard, and he ran at the same time in order to thwart the attempt of Amalek and to side with the Jews. Rav Yitzchak, so therefore it was these two issues that happened as a result of kol. Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, added that when Yisro heard of the great miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, he was tempted to become a part of the Jewish nation. However, he recognized his own low status, and he knew that he wouldn't be able to serve Hashem perfectly, and so therefore he assumed that he couldn't join the Jewish people. But then he also heard about the battle against Amalek, which represents the great war against the Yetzirah. And he understood from Melchemes Amalek that Hashem desires primarily our battles and our fights against the Yetzirah. We need to go to war. That's even more important than whether we win or not. So when Yisro heard that message, he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and he got scared. And then he heard about Melchemes Amalek. He realized that he too can also join the Jewish nation. And he joined them in the desert, teaching us that no matter what happens, our responsibility is to try. It's like Pirkei Avos says, Lo alecham lachalig mor, v'lo ata ben chorin li batel mimena. Anyway, after the episode with Yisro, Bnei Yisrael find themselves at Mamad Har Sinai. And Hashem speaks to Moshe, and he says, Eila devar masher tedaber al Bnei Yisrael. These are the things you should speak to Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi comments, Lo pachos velo yoser. These are the things you shouldn't add to them, and you shouldn't subtract from them. The problem is that earlier Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Kosomar lebeis Yaakov visaged lebnei Yisrael. You're supposed to speak softly to Beis Yaakov, and more harshly to Bnei Yisrael. And how is one supposed to deliver the same message in the same number of words and be softer in one message and harder in another message? So Rav Gedalia Shor, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that the issue doesn't depend on the words spoken, but how the people will hear them. When one looks at the main request, V'yisem li'gula mikol ha'amim, it's seen as soft. But when one considers the responsibility of being a Mamleches Kohen and Vigoy Kadosh, so then a person who really realizes that there's also a responsibility that comes with it, such a person takes it a little bit harder. And that's what the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be central over here. And so thus it was declared. Then we're told about how Har Sinai should be established. V'gbalta esa'am saviv le'mor. You have to be careful to put a gvul, a border. Lo siga bo yad, you shouldn't touch Har Sinai. Ki sako yisakel, o yaro yiyore, im behema v'im ish lo yichya. If it's an animal or a person, the one who touches Har Sinai will not live. And so the Gemara in Sanhedrin notes that based on this, we have the process of something called the Shor Sinai. And we see that Ashur Sinai gets skila, gets the punishment of stoning. And the Gemara determines and debates how does one determine this, and based on different calculations, the Gemara decides that it's judged in the Beis Din of Chav Gimel, it's judged in the Beis Din of 23. So the Bali Atosus asked the question over there, why we spend so much time on an issue if it's only a Rasha? I mean, after all, usually we don't turn around and we don't make determinations based on a Rasha. So the Meiri learns that Har Sinai has a continuity to the Beis HaMikdash today. And so therefore, an animal that goes onto Har Sinai today would get the death penalty too. And an animal that goes into the Beis, Har HaBayis today also would receive skila and should be chayev skila. Maybe that helps us explain part of the strange Gemara at the end of Makos, that famous Gemara about Makom Shenem Harizara Koriv Yumas Ve'Achshav Shualim Hilchuba, the concerns of the Rabbanin. Anyway, Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter Shalita told us that he thought this was a very big chiddush, that that Har Sinai is continued into Har Abayis, and it's not usually accepted. So instead, Rav Shachter quoted to us from one of his Rebbeim, from Rav Yerucham Gerelik Zatzal, that there's a single universal rule being taught here. Do all the rules regarding all shorim, whether they are Sinai or whether they belong to an owner, do they require a Beis Din of 23, or are all of them treated as chattel? But one thing Rav Shachter was trying to get through to us in the discussion of the Gemara of Shor Sinai, and that is that Divrei Torah have to have potential applicability today. They have to have applicability at some point in the future. Spending times on things that were one-time events constitutes Bittul Torah. We shouldn't be dealing with the question of Shor Shel Sinai. What we should deal with are things that are relevant today. So what Yaakov Avinu ate for breakfast on a particular morning, unless it has a relevance to us Bisman Hazeh, if it doesn't serve as a Siman Labanim and have ramifications, it does not have applicability in the realm of Torah. However, if it has applicability in some way, shape, or form, and then spending time on that issue to learn from it certainly becomes a basis of Limud HaTorah. And speaking of Limud HaTorah, we're told that the people came Besachta Sahar, Vayisyatsu Besachta Sahar. They stood at the base of the mountain, and a famous Gemara exists in Shabbos Adach Beches, which notes that this teaches us that Kaf Aleim HaKigigis, God lifted the mountain on top of the people, and he told them, "In Mekabim Es HaTorah Mutav, if you accept the Torah, great, but if not, Shom Teik Vuraschem, there you will be buried." And the commentaries all note that if the mountain was on top of them already, why does not HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, "Po Teik Vuraschem, this is where I will bury you"? What's Shom? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal explains that there's a valuable lesson over here. Often in life, people get busy. They work to delay their own spiritual growth until they get around to it. And God tells them, if you don't change your priorities and instead wait to get there, the word Shum, there, is going to bury you here. When it comes to spiritual growth, we don't wait for the eventual. We deal with it right here and right now. Which is why right here and right now we get to the Kol HaDvarim Ho'ela, and we find that Hashem speaks out all of these words. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh tells us that all of the Aseres HaDibros were given at the exact same moment, at the same time that we hear that the first two Dibros were given by Hashem. So how could it be? Either all the Dibros were given at the exact same moment, or we were able to interpret the first two. How do you deal with the contradiction? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh answers that Hashem said all 10 of them at once, but the people couldn't hear anything beyond the first Dibros, at which time the Neshamas left their bodies. So the current chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Rav Shlomo Amar Shalita, explained that this explains the pasuk in Tehillim, Achas Diber Hashem, Shtaim Zu Shamati, that what God spoke all of them at one time, and two of them were I was able to hear. We heard two Dibros, even if one was being spoken at the time. The others, said Rav Amar, okay, the other eight came out in fire, and as soon as the people were revived, they were able to see the other eight in front of them. And this may help explain, says Rav Amar, v'cholam roim mesakolos. They were able to literally see it. The initial part of the mamad was what achas diber Hashem. God said one thing. At the same time, the neshamas popped out. They were only able to hear two of them. Two of the Dibros, when they were revived, they saw the other eight in front of them, and that helped them follow through. And while we're on the subject of V'cholam Roim Mesakolos, that they saw the sounds, it begs the obvious question, what does it mean to see sounds? And moreover, the Mechilta adds that they saw the sounds and they heard the sights, which doesn't make any sense. We're supposed to see sights and hear sounds. So Marin Shalkol Yisrael Rav Asher Weiss Shalita notes the comments of Rav Chaim of Valazhin, who explained that the most trusted of the human senses is the power of sight. We implicitly tend to trust that which we see even more than that which our other senses tell us. So Rav Asher added that when the Jews received the Torah, their perspective changed. That which they had accepted on faith became as clear as sight, and that which was in front of them, the value of material goods, became as distant as sound as a result of the correction of priority that came about through Matan Torah. And so here we can understand Roem Esakolos. They all of a sudden were able to see things that in the past they only were able to depend on in terms of trust and faith. And the Shomin Esamara, right? They were able to hear that which was being seen. In other words, they understood afterwards that their priority even on those things had to change. So the pasuk then says, "Vayaram vayanu vayamtu merachok." The nation saw and they got scared, and they stood far away. So the Medrash states that they moved back 12 mil, and the malachim sought to bring them back to where they were. Now, why did they move 12 mil? So Rabbi Tzal Radinsky Shalita explains that Matan Torah took place on Shabbos, and the Shir of Tkum is 12 mil, and that's as far as Bnei Yisrael could move back. So Rav Radinsky added that Hashem was teaching an additional lesson by giving the Torah on Shabbos. In essence, lest a generation think that in the future the Torah will be non-applicable, in a generation of wealth, the Torah is given on Shabbos. Just as Shabbos gives power and life to the rest of the week, Torah gives purpose to all the other facets of life. Sometimes in life, we see Shabbos is merely a vacation from the rest of what it is that we do. No, the rest of what we do is energized because what we do in our lives is go from Shabbos to Shabbos. That's our primary focus. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read from Yishayahu, who describes his first call to Nevuah. And he says, Oyoli ki nedmesi ki ish temeis vasayim anochi. He says, woe unto me, I'm as a man with tainted lips. Now, why does Rishayo's declaration and the lack of faith in the people become the appropriate haftorah for Parshas Yisro? Wouldn't it be a better choice for Parshas Shmos, where Moshe Rabbeinu too speaks badly of the Jewish people? Why do we choose Parshas Yisro? So my dear friend and Rebbe Rav Gideon Weitzman Shalita, the famous head of the English department of Machon Fuwa, among other great titles that this fine Talmud Chacham has, suggests that the message of Har Sinai was told to Moshe. The success in taking the people out of Mitzrayim would be achieved when the people would serve Hashem Bahar Hazah on Har Sinai. And so the proper response to the challenge of Moshe in Parsha Shmos, when he said that this nation is not worthy of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Heim lo yaminu li, and over here also with Yishayahu, was found in this week's Parsha. Because in the end of the day, the people ultimately served Hashem here on Har Sinai. And so there's no need for any more questions as to their commitment. The response to Yishayahu is, Tavdu nasalo kim ala arazeh. And so therefore, in response to Yishayahu, we bring him out and show him, look what we just did. Look at the Mamad Har Sinai in Parshas Yisro. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the opportunity to extend Mamad Har Sinai into the opportunities of the future when we will get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucho L'chayor Olamim, a Shabbat Shalom Uforach to all.